Welcome to the 42nd installment of Sefer HaMitzvos in the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss prohibition number 322, the prohibition on the Jewish court to inflict the death penalty on Shabbos. As we discussed yesterday, this commandment derives from Parshas Vayakil, where the verse states, Leisavaru eish b'chol meishveisechem, do not allow a fire to burn in any of your dwellings. And the Rambam quotes the Mechilta, which explains why it is that this act has been singled out from all those other prohibited acts on Shabbos. As we discussed in Prohibition 320, that there are 39 different categories of prohibited malacha, acts which are prohibited on Shabbos. Making a fire is only one of them. However, it is included in the general commandment not to work on Shabbos. Why then was this singled out? The Mechilta says that over here, it is not only referring to the prohibition of making a fire. It is referring to sreifa, the punishment of death inflicted by a Jewish court for certain violations of putting a person to death by burning, by sreifa. And the verse tells us, do not even fulfill the positive commandment to put this person to death by sreifa. Rather, do not burn the fire on the Shabbos. Do not inflict the death penalty. And the Mechilta explains that although the verse refers specifically to the death penalty of burning, so too the other three forms of the death penalty, strangulation and stoning and beheading, these also may not be performed and carried out on Shabbos. In Sefer HaMitzvos, Rambam discusses the Talmudic interpretation of this verse, that possibly it was that the prohibition of making a fire was singled out to tell us that it is different from all other prohibitions of Shabbos. That if one does another act, one is punishable by death, as we discussed in Prohibition 320. But perhaps for making a fire, one does not incur that punishment. Perhaps one is only lashed, as it is the case with other biblical prohibitions. This is known as lalav yotzes. It was singled out to tell you it is a mere prohibition, and not the severe prohibition of Shabbos, as the other 38 categories of work would be termed. However, the Talmud rejects this possibility, and decides that the halacha is lachalik yotzes, that this act was singled out only to tell us that each act is considered separately, not that there is something intrinsically special about the prohibition of making a fire, rather one was singled out by the Torah to tell us that one would incur punishment for each one separately, or if it was done unintentionally, if one did, for example, 30 separate acts, different violations on Shabbos, of different types of malacha, one would have to bring an offering, a sacrifice, for each one of the 30. And it would not be said that one merely violated the Shabbos in one prohibition, but by singling out one of the 39 prohibited acts, in this case making a fire, the Torah was telling us and teaching us that each one is considered separately for the purposes of Shabbos violation. Nevertheless, as the Chinuch points out, both teachings can be brought from this verse that it is singled out to tell us that each violation is considered separately, as the Talmud says, and also, as the Mechilta says, to teach us that one may not inflict the death penalty on Shabbos, which is the source for our commandment today. The Rambam also quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, which utilizes the phrase, B'chol meishvei seichem, in all of your dwellings, that Rav Ila quotes Rav Yanai, who says that this phrase teaches us that a Jewish court may not sit in judgment on Shabbos. Not only they are prohibited from carrying out the death penalty, they are also prohibited from issuing a judgment on Shabbos. As we discussed yesterday, the Chinuch compares Shabbos to a king who makes a feast. And on the day that he makes a feast for all the inhabitants of his land, no judgment is executed. And so too, the rest which God desires on the Sabbath applies to everybody, to all inhabitants, even the ones that have sinned and transgressed his will, and even the ones that have done such a severe transgression that they are subject to the death penalty. Even they rest on Shabbos. They are not punished, do not inflict any punishment, do not suffer that punishment on Shabbos. The Tzemach Tzedek explains in Derech Mitzvasecha that this is connected with the general idea of what happens on Shabbos. As we explained regarding our discussion of the prohibition of working on Shabbos, Chassidus and the Kabbalah explain that the world undergo a tremendous, drastic transformation on Shabbos. The worlds are elevated, and the physical world receives its life force from a much higher spiritual source. It is for this reason we explained previously that one is not allowed to do certain acts on Shabbos, just as when one is before an earthly king, one would not do anything unrelated to the king. So too, since the entire world is elevated on Shabbos, we cannot do certain acts. We are standing, so to speak, directly in front of the King of Kings, as a result of the spiritual elevation of the world. So too, the Tzemach Tzedek explains, we are not allowed, for the same reason, to execute judgment on Shabbos. The explanation of this is as follows, that God is essentially totally kind. He wants only pure good and enjoyment and simcha, joy, for all of his creatures. However, in the process of creating the world, as his godly revelation was contracted, so to speak, and concealed, there were created gvuros koshes, forces of strictness and judgment, and spiritual beings capable of inflicting judgments. We can compare them, says the Tzemach Tzedek, to people, that there are certain types of people who naturally embody this desire of the powers of punishment and revenge. We can see in these types of people, says the Tzemach Tzedek, that as soon as they encounter someone who does a sin or does something wrong, they are the first ones to become angry, and they immediately want to take revenge and strike them and hurt them and harm them, and they will not settle down until this revenge and this punishment has been carried out. And not only will they not rest until the punishment has been carried out, they themselves want to have a hand in the punishment, that when they do have a hand in this punishment, their own souls are enlivened. They get their enjoyment and their pleasure, and their soul is only at rest when they can take part in this vengeful and angry sort of retribution. And even though they make it appear that they are not doing it as a result of their personal desire, they are doing it l'shem shamayim, to carry out God's will. Nevertheless, ein ze emes klal, says the Tzemach Tzedek. This is not the truth whatsoever behind their actions. The truth is that God wants only good for his creatures, and he is totally merciful. And any punishments that he might carry out are only because he wishes to bestow on them a greater form of good. As the example is given of someone who wishes to remove a stain from a garment, you must sometimes strike it and treat the garment roughly before the stain will come out. And so too, any suffering which a person goes through, or Gehenna, which comes after a person's physical life, is not for punishment, God forbid. Rather, is to bring the person, treat him, and improve him until he is able to take the higher form of good and purity which is available to him after he has gone through his purification process. However, these people are not interested in punishment for that reason. They are interested in punishment for their own good, for their own desire. And these sorts of people embody the powers of Gvuras Koshes, those beings that Hashem has created in order to carry out punishment against human beings. However, on Shabbos, all of them rest. The world is getting its life force and its nourishment from a higher spiritual source. And no longer is there any power for these Gvuras Koshes, for these forces of severity and judgment. If down here on earth people should inflict judgment, this will arouse the forces of judgment up above in the heavens. Therefore, the Tzemach Tzedek explains, we are forbidden from inflicting punishment down here, that just as in the heavenly courts all forms of judgment cease and are at rest, so too down here we must mirror their actions and also withhold any form of judgment. A story is told of the Yid HaKodesh, from which we can have some sense of this, of the tremendously different level in which the world reaches on Shabbos. One Friday, the Yid HaKodesh's father, Rab Asher, passed away, and in order to come there for the funeral, the Yid HaKodesh came there on Friday, and he remained there for Shabbos. Everyone came to greet him, and although he was in mourning, mourning practices, of course, are interrupted for Shabbos. And when they came to visit him, they found that he was conducting a tish, this festive table, which is led by many Hasidic rebbes, in which He leads the people, and he shares his food with them, and leads them in discussions of various Torah topics, and in song, and so on. And they found that the Yid HaKadosh was behaving that Shabbos as he was all Shabbosim of the year. His face was shining, and he was besimcha, he was in a joyous state. And the people began to think, isn't this a little strange? His father just passed away on Friday, and Shabbos he's acting as if nothing happened. And the Shabbos went through, and even Shalosh Shudas, the third meal of Shabbos, all the Chassidim were there, and he was still besimcha, he was at great joy, conducting his tish for all of the Chassidim. Nightfall came, they davened Maariv, and someone said Havdalah in the shul. And immediately after Havdalah, the Yid HaKadosh fell off his chair and was wailing, sobbing, crying on the floor. For hours he remained there crying as people tried to calm him down, but nothing that they could say was able to help. That only after the Shabbos was over did he fully feel the tremendous grief that he experienced upon the loss of his father. That after the Shabbos was over, he returned to the natural state of things, a child that, God forbid, has lost a father. And for this he was mourning and crying with the deepest feeling. However, on Shabbos itself, he was permeated with the joy of Shabbos, with the tainug, with the delight, and with the simcha of Shabbos. And as a result, he did not feel this whatsoever. They had no feeling of mourning, no feeling of grief, and it was completely unrecognizable in his behavior and even on his face, with everything he did, that anything was different this Shabbos from any other Shabbos, since he was evidently permeated and completely transformed by the Shabbos and in touch with the Holy Source, which is radiant on that day. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.